Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This edition of the Hagmann Report on this Friday, August 18th, 2017. This is our last broadcast of the week. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. We got a great show planned for you tonight. Folks, go to HagmannReport.com. Check out the stories there. We got some an article from Peter Chowka. He was on our daily show today, and the first guest we've had on our daily show, the Hagmann Daily Show. And you can find that also on Hagmann Report. But he came on to talk about what he wrote about, and that's up on HagmannReport.com. Big changes coming soon to Fox News. He also talked about what's not public and what was going on with Murdoch behind the scenes, and it's really interesting. So if you want some of the inside scoop of what's happening at Fox News, definitely check out the Hagmann Daily Show broadcast. You can access that from the Hagmann Report website. Right at the top, there's a listen button. And that brings you to a page where it has all three shows, the Hagmann Report, the Doug Hagmann Show, and the Hagmann Daily Show. Now, we got a lot to get into tonight. Paul McGuire will be joining us in just a few moments. He'll be with us for the first 2 hours of the broadcast, and we're going to get into a number of things with the upcoming eclipse that's on Monday. We've been getting a lot of emails about that, a lot of emails about the September 23rd star and planetary alignment, and we're going to talk about the geopolitical situations, the economic situations, and the spiritual and prophetic situations, as we do each time Paul McGuire joins us. And it's always a pleasure to have him. He's very smart. He's written a number of great books, and we'll get into that more later. Also, we are going to have author M. William Phelps on hour three. He's a crime, murder, and serial killer expert. He's also the creator, producer, and writer, and former host of the Investigation Discovery series, Dark Minds. He'll be with us in the third hour. Want to direct your attention to a few things on the website from today on Hagmann Report. There's an interesting article, Mainstream Conservative Groups Alarmed to be Found on Hate Map. This is from the Washington Times, not the Washington Post, the Washington Times. Now, like many big cities, you have like the New York Times and the New York Post. The New York Times is very liberal, where the New York Post seems to be more, you know, tell it like it is. Same thing with the Washington Post and the Washington Times. The Washington Post has really discredited itself over the last year, and the Washington Times seems to be right on the money. But this article goes into the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate map, which lists 917 organizations such as the racist groups like the Aryan Nation, alongside mainstream conservative organizations such as the Alliance Defending Freedom and Family Research Council. It's an interesting article, and it basically points to the direction the political debate is moving in our country. From just last Saturday, we saw that attack in Charlottesville, and many people are now claiming that the right, the GOP, even the mainstream Republicans, are somehow Nazis. Also, there's another interesting piece on Hagmann Report that's been getting some coverage in the mainstream media. Missouri Democrat. I can't talk today. Yeah, same thing. Good point, Eric. I hope Trump is assassinated. This is an interesting story. I believe it was the governor or the lieutenant governor of Missouri has asked her to resign, but a Democratic state lawmaker in Missouri posted a now-deleted comment on Facebook expressing hope that the president would be assassinated. It is State Senator Marie Chappelle Nadal, on her personal Facebook page, voiced disgust that President Trump claimed he was causing trauma and nightmares, and then goes on to say, as she's having a dialogue with somebody, the other person says, "I'll probably get a visit from the Secret Service." She says, "No, I will. I hope Trump is assassinated," as we see their true feelings coming out in the open. Also, there's another piece on Hagmann Report from April 27th of this year, which is really important, and it shows kind of what's going on the scene, behind the scenes with this alt-left movement. Domestic terrorist Bill Ayers working with Antifa terrorist group. And again, this is from the Gateway Pundit, and it is from April 27th, but it makes some good connections on Bill Ayers and his terrorist group, the Weather Underground, that was responsible for many bombings of the Pentagon, the San Francisco police headquarters, and their connections to the, what I would call the domestic terrorist group Antifa. The article goes on to lay out the background of Ayers and his connections to this radical left group and how he was very instrumental in the Berkeley protests and unrest, where Milo Yiannopoulos went to speak and these people rioted and almost burned down the campus. And Antifa also, today, as this is a story I just caught my eye as I'm looking at my computer here from CNN. No surprise there. They're going on to pretty much promote this Antifa, unmasking the leftist Antifa movement. Activists seek peace through violence. Yes, you heard that right. Antifa, seeking peace through violence. This is an article from today, 4:52 p.m. on CNN, and I haven't read it yet, but I'm definitely going to do that as soon as I get the chance, because it's pretty crazy that I'm surprised to see this out in the open, and I wonder if we'll see it aside on CNN print media, if we'll see some reports, and I'd like to see some political analysts and commentators talk about this. I'd like to see what their arguments are as they try to defend this peace through violence. That makes a lot of sense. Sounds biblical almost, doesn't it? Sounds like the New World Order motto, order out of chaos. It's just getting way out of hand, and the president earlier Tuesday was really taken to task for calling the far left, extreme left out as violent people, where the media only wanted him to, you know, talk about the right white supremacist. And just like the white supremacist, I don't really agree that, to say that they're associated with the right. Just like I wouldn't say this Antifa is really associated with the left. It's more extreme factions on both sides of the fringe, outskirts of the political party. So, we're trying to get Paul right now. It'll be really interesting to see how this plays out. Now, another thing I noticed in the news today, there is a number of rallies that are causing people to, they're getting some attention. One in particular from Boston, and I talked about this on The Daily Show, and I was, it's kind of interesting to see how they phrase this. This out of the Boston CBSLocal.com, where I read an article from the Boston Globe earlier today, but this article says, stay away from the common during Boston free speech rally. Now, from what I understand about this organization, there is a free speech rally scheduled for Saturday in Boston. The group describes themselves as libertarian, conservative, Republican, and Democrat people coming together to promote free speech and the First Amendment. And they're being categorized as in some places, as a white supremacist movement. Now, it's interesting, you know, we see the Southern Poverty Law Center continue to pop up in these debates. The Boston Mayor, Marty Welsh, is urging people to stay away from the planned free speech rally scheduled for Saturday on Boston Common. Welsh made the comments Friday as he discussed security for the event alongside Boston Police Commissioner William Evans and Governor Charlie Baker. The mayor said he has spoken with the Southern Poverty Law Center for guidance on how to handle the events involving white supremacists. First of all, these people are not white supremacists. Second of all, the last people anybody should be speaking to for any advice involving anything is the Southern Poverty Law Center. These people are so unhinged. Anybody who opposes Planned Parenthood is considered a Nazi in their book, where the reverse is true. Anybody who supports Planned Parenthood technically would be a Nazi, as they promote these genocidal practices along racial lines. That's what they were founded on. Anyway, back to the article. A total of 500 police officers will be present at the rally and several hundred more available if necessary. The reason they're bringing so much security is that they believe that there's going to be counter-protesters. And again, the whole point I brought this up from the free speech rally is I read an article earlier from the Boston Globe that detailed how the organizers of the event tried very hard and managed to only line up speakers that had absolutely no affiliations or questions, if they were white supremacists or not. Even the Boston Globe, though, didn't call them the alt-right. They called them a term that the ADL used when describing, what they would say is a less fringe group, than white supremacists, the alt-light. That's what they were describing. And this is just one of many rallies. There's a KKK rally scheduled for Durham, North Carolina, either today or tomorrow. Which is crazy because I couldn't tell you the last time I've heard of a KKK rally. So I don't know how accurate that is. If it's actually the KKK, I don't even think they're still around. Maybe they are. I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see 1 week removed from Charlottesville how this political violence will escalate or if it will retract a little bit, which hopefully it does. Just an update on terror in Europe. Yesterday we had the Barcelona attack and today we have 2 dead and 6 injured in a stabbing in Finland. Now, I don't have a report of this. Last time I looked, there was 1 arrested and 1 still on the loose, 1 attacker still on the loose. And there was also a knife attack in Germany where 1 person was killed. So these terror attacks in Europe, 3 in the last 2 days. And I've read some things that at least in America, people are connecting possible terrorist events to the eclipse on Monday, or just chaos in general. So I guess it'd be a good idea to keep your eyes open. I haven't seen anything conclusive or to make me think that anything will happen. And sometimes these theories can come out of left field and just 2 events unrelated can be connected due to the news cycle, the chaos, and people trying to make a reach of things that aren't really relevant with each other. But we do have that eclipse on Monday, and it'll be very interesting to see, as we've seen reports of hospitals stocking up on blood, and one hospital in Oregon was stocking up on rattlesnake venom because they said the animals will act weird during an eclipse. Very strange, but it should be a very interesting event to see, and hopefully everybody gets a nice, clear, sunny day to be able to watch the eclipse no matter where you are in the country. And there's maps out there, folks, if you want to look where you are in the country compared to what percentage of the eclipse you'll see. I think here in Erie it's 75-80%. Not sure, but it's always fun. I remember in elementary school, one of the last times there was an eclipse in our area, I think I was in 5th grade, and they pull you out of class and we did some activity outside. And then they give you these little glasses you put on, and you get to sit there and watch the eclipse. So it'll be fun, it'll be interesting, and I think we're all going to try to at least poke our head out from the basement when the eclipse is ongoing, just to see what we can see. Eric, what's up with Paul McGuire? Are we gonna have him soon? Oh, okay. I don't know what's going on. There's some issues with Paul getting on the show, so we will get him on as soon as possible. Again, folks, if you joined us late, Paul McGuire will be on with us here shortly, and then we have M. Williams Phelps, who will be with us in the third hour. He's a very extensive crime, murder, and serial killer expert. He's written a number of books, and it'll be real interesting to talk with him and go through a number of different things with Mr. Phelps. And my father will be here for that interview. He's currently in a meeting on the phone right now and can't be with us. I want to take this opportunity to give you a quick word from our sponsors, folks. Tonight's broadcast is brought to you by Greenovative. We'll have more on this later, but go to greenovative.com. Check out their products. They have something for everybody. I like their logo, Power Where There Is No Power. They have set up packages where you can recharge hundreds of batteries, hundreds of rechargeable batteries, to basically give you battery power forever, depending on what package you buy. And we will go through their product list and give you the promo code after the next break. Greenovative.com. Back to HagmanReport.com and what we are looking at here in the news. A few things that have not been covered. There's an article, Dems Scandals, Nets Blackout, Indictments and Assassination Hopes. We covered the assassination story, but there's another story we mentioned yesterday where the Awan brothers, Amir and Awan, was indicted on four different counts. And we've seen yesterday that the networks covered 60% of Trump, even more so than the Barcelona terror attacks. And there has not been any updates in the mainstream that I've seen about this, but I will say that I have not been watching Fox News or CNN for any considerable amount of time. But the story goes as follows. Thursday was a terrible day for the Democratic Party as they were rocked by two scandals. First, Missouri State Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal wrote on Facebook that she wanted President Trump assassinated. Second, Congressman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, former IT staffer, Amir and Awan was indicted on bank fraud, among other charges, and it is a damaging day for the Democrats, they go on to say, but you wouldn't have known it from watching the three big networks who ignored all of it. And that's very true, and I don't think you're going to see much of the Debbie Wasserman Schultz story get much play in the mainstream media. And we're talking about, you know, the media hysteria that we saw this week and the craziness, the just flat out lying, the propaganda, the antagonizing from the press conference on Tuesday with Trump. I was watching yesterday after the show when I went home. CNN does these interesting series. They had the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s where they do, 7 to 10 shows outlining different historical aspects of these decades. In the 80s, they did, you know, the TV and the rise of the computer. And the two shows I watched yesterday on the 90s was the one on the rise of the Internet, and the second one was on Bill Clinton and his presidency. And they go through all the historical things, but one of the things that they pointed out, and I'm not sure... maybe I watched more than two, because what I'm going to get into is Y2K, and we're talking about the media hysteria. Well, they were showing news clips from people's fears of Y2K and what the news networks were putting out there. And folks, the media has always been dishonest. But one thing I saw in this barrage of clips from the Y2K phenomenon was this, that over $1 billion was spent trying to correct the problem that there was no real problem too. As you remember, Y2K was a issue about the computer clocks changing from, you know, 1999 to the year 2000, where the tech company said they didn't have it programmed in there. It could have caused a huge computer malfunctions. But what the news was saying was very interesting. They were, they made a checklist, and I couldn't tell you which network this was, but they had four things on there, and it was two different networks that ran the story. And the four things that were on there was all computer systems were going to crash, all the prison doors were going to swing open. They also talked about an economic crash, but one of the last things that were on their list was wild packs of dogs attacking people. And I kind of sat back, and I'm thinking, you know, did people really buy this back then? Well, they spent $1 billion on it. So it's interesting. I said all that to say it's interesting to see how these problems are sensationalized, sometimes even created, added to, and then sensationalized for the purposes of ratings or making money. But the news and the people who pay attention very intensely to the news, it's so easy to get wrapped up in the sensationalism aspect of what's going on. And with this president and this news cycle, we have seen this times 10, the just level of insanity that this has risen to. But if you step out from that bubble and you are in, you know, every town in America, USA, people aren't paying attention. They're going about their lives. They're doing their work. You know, they're farming their farms. They're working the cash registers. They're not swayed in any way by what the news cycle spits out. And I guess if anything can be said for that, that should be a little bit of encouragement for everybody out there. We have with us Paul McGuire from paulmcguire.us. And Eric, let's just skip this break since we're so late into it already. And I'm going to bring Paul on. Paul, it's great to have you on.
It's great to be on, and being that my Facebook account locked me out, and I use the right password. But anyway, I'm here, so it's great to be here.
Yeah, let's jump right in, Paul. We're going to skip this break, so we won't have a break till 7:57. I want to pick up right where something you talked about last time you were on, because it's only gotten worse, and that is what you described as a psychological attack on Donald Trump from the news media, from the deep state, even from those in his inner circle. And we've only seen this intensify. What do you think is going on in the White House? Do you think he's getting rid of these people? And I know today Steve Bannon left the White House, but I don't believe it's as ominous as the media is making it sound, at least because Bannon and Trump seem to be on the same page. I believe that there's more to that story than the news will even report, or maybe that they even know. But it seems like there's a lot of changes being made at the White House. I am one that hopes that he is, you know, trying to make the administration better, correcting areas where he might have missed before, trying to get it to run more efficiently, trying to cut down on the leaks. But it seems like the media and the deep state continue their assault on Trump, and they continue to raise the bar of how low they'll go. So
You're absolutely correct. And so what is occurring, and what has been occurring since Trump became a serious candidate during the election cycle, it was obvious when Trump got up there in juxtaposition to all the Republican candidates. The vast majority of the Republican candidates were clearly, they revealed themselves as guys and girls that were on the take, that they were part of the system, especially the Republican elite. And then you have this particular political dynasty which has produced two presidents, and they almost wanted to have their other son be the third president. And this is one of the most powerful political dynasties in the world and the nation. And, you know, this candidate, Jeb Bush, was spending, like, according to Trump, like $500 million. And, of course, Jeb Bush wasn't spending the money, but a super PAC was. So basically it was him. And that allowed Jeb Bush to be very nice and Christian-like in his behavior at the debates, but he was ripping Trump to shreds via the super PAC and the television commercial blitz. So Trump did the only thing he could do. He fought back live and on camera, and he shook things up. So the question that we have to ask ourselves, or remind ourselves once again, there is a clear reason why Trump is being attacked on a level that no other U.S. president in U.S. history has ever been attacked at this level, except with Kennedy, who was killed. Number two is, this is probably the most intense spiritual battle for the hearts and souls of mankind taking place within the United States. So we have two incredible, colossal battles going on simultaneously. We have the political battle for the future of America, and that transcends partisan politics. It has to do with ideas, and ideas have consequences. And basically, that battle is very simple. It's between those people who believe in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the vision of the Founding Fathers, that the Creator, capital C, gave us certain inalienable rights, such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, versus this globalist elite and all the Republican candidates who are secretly working for the globalist elite, and all the Democratic Party candidates that are secretly working for the globalist elite, and this massive structure that they call the swamp of people in very, very, very powerful positions in Washington, D.C., which are also working for the globalist elite. So, in other words, we have not only our elected representatives working for the globalist elite, we have people in the highest levels of national security and law enforcement, the military, a wide spectrum. I'm not saying all of them, clearly, but a disturbing percentage. Who are they really working for? They're working for the globalist elite that put them in power. And that goes back to the end of World War II, when our intelligence apparatus in Europe was called the OSS, Office of Strategic Services. And that was coming to a close. And so Rockefeller financed the CIA and other intelligence agencies, a private individual, Rockefeller, and he gets Alan Dulles and John Dulles. Alan Dulles runs the CIA with Rockefeller backing, and so they establish this global intelligence agency, which is very sophisticated, very good, very powerful. Good in the sense that they know how to do their job, okay? But who are they working for? Are they working for we the people, according to the Constitution? Or are they working for an elite group of international bankers and powerful men like Rockefeller? Whose agenda are they initiating with all the stuff they do, the spycraft that they do? Are they doing the will of the American people, which is what they're supposed to be doing under the Constitution, or are they doing the will of the globalist elite? So it's really very, very crystal clear. There's only one man on the stage, so to speak, and that's Donald Trump. And the reason he is under attack by absolutely everybody is because, despite his imperfections, he's the only one that is a threat to the status quo, which is evil, and to the plans of the globalist elite for their one-world government, which means the globalist elite want to destroy America as we know it and turn it into some kind of world socialist state like they did to the European Union. So this should be crystal clear to conservatives, to Christians. It should be crystal clear to liberals, but liberals, and I was raised in a liberal family, and I was a radical, and I was a demonstrator. But back then, in the 70s, I can't say we were all that bright, but we had at least a light bulb that had, like, you know, like a refrigerator light bulb that had like 10 watts of brain power. We had about 10 watts of brain power back then. I don't think that the radical left has any wattage of brain power. They're just the programmed zombies to do the will of George Soros or whatever. And they want to impeach Trump. So they're using a multi-tiered strategy of psychological warfare, psychological assassination. Imagine being under continual 24/7 bombardment of images, video, audio, movie stars, big politicians, the Pope, on and on and on. You're married, you have children, and you are ridiculed and you are mocked as if you were subhuman. And then to top it off, you know, the Griffith girl holding up Trump as like he was beheaded in front of Trump's son. That's shock and awe, man. Trump can handle it, okay? But that produces like PTSD in his wife and family. They're shell-shocked, okay? And this is intentional. And now I'm very disturbed. I don't know, obviously, what's going on in the inner circle, but I see a pattern here that's very dangerous. The president is being deliberately isolated under the disguise of management efficiency. We need to restrict access to the president so he can get his job done. I don't buy that. They're restricting access to him so they can quarantine him, so they can keep him away from the media. Keep him. They can monitor and control his feedback, and basically by isolating him, they're controlling him. And if Trump isn't careful, he thinks, well, gee, I'm getting involved in management efficiency, and these generals, et cetera, are helping me. But they may or may not be. But the point is this: when Trump loses direct access to information and to the people, they can veer him off in any direction by keeping him sequestered. Not to mention, and I kind of hesitate to mention it because it kind of takes people who are not familiar with it into like a a weird place. But we have to remember that the technology and science of mind control, the ability to alter human states of consciousness from a distance. Let's just talk about an imperceptible input to his brain that's wireless, okay, that's coming from a very far distance, that disrupts his sleeping patterns, that causes biochemical reactions in his brain that are artificial but produce paranoia, high anxiety. Yeah.
We saw a great case of this in coming out of Cuba, where U.S. diplomats were hit by some kind of sound or frequency weapon to where some of them went deaf. And there was an article yesterday saying the threat and the attack was understated by the media. And it wasn't not only the U.S., but Canada had diplomats that went back. So who knows the level, and if Cuba is able to do things like this, what can America do that we don't even and we'll never know about?
Well, that's the point. And what you brought up was a perfect illustration of the reality of pre-existing silent sound weapons, which were operational in the 1940s, okay? In fact, they were also operational in the late 50s. And as you know, I was deeply involved in the New Age movement, majored in altered states of consciousness and filmmaking at the University of Missouri. So I was intensively studying not silent sound weapons, but altered states of consciousness from a scientific point of view. And one of the people I devoted a lot of time to studying was a guy named Dr. John C. Lilly. And this is a long time ago. You may not remember the movie, but there was a movie with an actor named George C. Scott called Day of the Dolphin. And it was a big Hollywood feature film, and it was the story of a scientist who learned how to communicate with dolphins and discovered that dolphins were more intelligent than mankind. Well, that was based on Dr. John C. Lilly's life. Then a little bit later, another movie came out starring William Hurt, and it was called Altered States of Consciousness, and it was a very intense film. And in the film, this scientist, and it's again based on the life of Dr. John C. Lilly, Lilly invented the sensory deprivation deep tank chamber, where you submerge your body in body temperature water, and you have no sensory input, sound, pressure, nothing. And when you're in a sensory deprivation deep tank, after a certain amount of hours, you simply begin to hallucinate and hear voices because you're deprived of all stimulus. Well, Lilly was a genius. I mean, he was recognized in the field of neuropsychology as being one of the brightest men on planet Earth. And he would amplify the effects of the sensory deprivation chamber by taking powerful psychedelic drugs like LSD and going into that entire experimentation. But as I've been finishing up the final pages of the brand new book that people are pre-ordering from my ministry, Conquering the Matrix, I wanted to put in the latest information. And I mean, the book's coming out a little later than I wanted it to. But this Lilly stuff was important because when I re-researched Lilly's work, and this is probably going to blow your mind and blow the mind of a lot of your listeners, Lilly is also the man in the late 1950s, while working for the intelligence agencies, he developed an invention called the Lilly Wave. Now, the Lilly Wave is a technology that's still operational. And what it allows you to do is take any kind of electronic signal, such as your house current, the electrical wiring in your house, a cell phone, Wi-Fi, whatever. But the most important thing was back then, it allowed you to use the electrical current in your house, and you could attach through the Lilly Wave a rider upon the electrical waves of your house current, and that rider was a mind control signal that could alter your moods, affect your health. So Lilly came up with a technology that allows scientists to attach mind control to any signal that exists, but it started in the 50s, and so they can take your house current, and like you can walk into a house, this is like theoretical, but they can do it, you could walk into a house and you could feel violently depressed, violently ill, and start vomiting, and then be paranoid and hallucinate, and then maybe you thought you were poisoned or somebody slipped you a drug, but no, it's a hidden form of mind control. Now, think of our president. I don't think he's that sophisticated about this technology. And I'll be very blunt with you. I don't believe that the people that are assigned, and I don't know this for sure, that's my gut feeling. I don't believe the people that are assigned to protect him are up to speed and knowledgeable about the latest technological developments. So now you have a president who's hidden away, for the most part, and all they have to do is to start hitting them with a very subtle, silent sound, and they could change his personality into paranoia, losing his temper. Let me give you a classic illustration of this, and your listeners.
Okay.
Did you happen to see a bunch of news people? They were doing a news broadcast.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're
going
to say.
Yeah. One person started to slur their voice in totally like he was stuttering nonsense, and then described to your listeners some of the other things that you saw live on the broadcast.
Yeah, there was maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago maybe, there, and you folks, you can still find these videos on YouTube. There were five or six different newscasters. I think, if I remember right, most were local newscasters, or
yeah.
It doesn't really matter, but they were in the middle of broadcasting, holding their microphones, talking normally, and then instantly they started talking gibberish, not making sense, not completing any words.
Right.
And they continued to try. It was like they really, it was like they had a stroke on air.
That's right.
But they didn't.
And what that was, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, as I say, but they didn't. And they still don't know what, no, to this day, or have admitted to this day, what has caused those reporters to act like that.
Well, I can tell you from researching it that it, you can attach a rider, okay, to any signal, and disrupting language patterns and make somebody babble, so to speak, and any number of bizarre behavioral manifestations is very easy to do. And I'll take it further than that. I can't prove this 100%, but I'm fairly observant. And when we had the presidential debates, I don't think it was the presidential debates. I think it was, remember the earlier debates when Rick Perry was up there debating with a whole bunch of people?
Yeah.
Okay. So when Perry got on, his face looked very disturbed. And I noticed it immediately. It's like something really intense happened in his personal life, but nothing intense did happen in his personal life. But his face looked intensely disoriented. He had an enormous difficulty in assembling his thoughts, like he was bewildered and confused and disoriented. Now, I can't prove it, but I would bet you anything that a low-level silent sound weapon was being aimed at him to take him out of the race. Now, but it was subtle, but just subtle enough to make him look kind of stupid. And you know, other nations use this technology, and it can be used from a distance. And we have a president who I don't think he has people around him that are up to speed about these technologies, because most people don't even know these technologies exist. So we need to pray for this man, but also communicate to him, you know, that he's got to really go the extra mile in protecting himself.
No, you're exactly right, and this brings up another thought. You know, we talk often about what would happen if there was a civil war, or our country went to war, or our country was invaded, or you know, it was the population versus the government. And what doesn't enter people's minds is the capabilities that you're describing. And sometimes, you know, I wonder how often things like this are used or beta tested. And I'm glad you brought up the example of the newscasters, because that seemed to only affect newscasters who were reporting live on TV all within a few months' time, and then it stopped. We haven't seen it since. And there's no other explanation for what happened to these people, why professional people it would be like me just sitting here and you know, making sounds and while trying to talk. It doesn't make sense that this would happen to on this wide of a scale from reporters across the country in different times, on different days. But there are things like this out there, and those are the subtle things, as you said.
Right, those are the subtle things, and I'm convinced that it wasn't accidental. I think the people that were employing these technologies were just showing a little bit of a show of force. Just kind of, I don't think it was an experiment because they knew they could do it already, but just kind of a little show of force that only certain people would pick up. Because the silent sound technologies are about sending either a vibrational frequency or an EMF wave that is not audible for the most part to the human ear. So the sound is going out there, but the human ear doesn't have the ability to actually hear these sound waves that are causing these behavioral changes. So that's why they're called silent sound. And, you know, they can do relatively harmless things to extreme things. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb, again, based on observation. I can't prove this 100%. All I can do is look at the behavioral changes, and I have a pretty intense knowledge of the technologies and what they can do, and then I can make a comparison. So, first of all, in the book Conquering the Matrix, in fact, I was brushing up on this Lilly chapter today before we got on the air because I knew it had to go in light of what's happening. And what was interesting was that this technology was used by intelligence agencies from different nations as far back as the 50s. In fact, the former Soviet Union or Russia, they had a facility in one of their diplomatic offices that was, I don't know how far away it was, but it was close, but not that far away, where they were beaming a signal at Americans in, I believe, the American embassy over a period of time. And the American embassy had no idea that the people working in it were being hit with a silent sound signal. And a number of them developed things like cancer and other diseases after about a year or two. So these signals can erode health. They can cause you not to, I mean, they can affect the full range of, they can give intense sexual arousal to the point of causing somebody to want to rape somebody. So when I saw the demonstration of, what was it, the Million Woman March or something, is that what it was called when they were protesting Trump?
Yeah, I don't remember the name, the Woman's March.
Right. But I was watching their behavior, and I was watching a number of these so-called liberal leftist demonstrations, and I was observing the behavior patterns of the women, and I thought that their anger and their hysteria and the rage in their faces was way, way beyond anything I'd ever seen before. And I grew up with liberals, okay? So I understand how much they hate Trump, and I understand how passionate they are about, you know, their thing. I understand that. But this emotion was like, it was bordering on psychotic, all right? And I'm saying to myself, this behavior is more than just being emotionally manipulated by the leaders or the demonstration organizers, you know, watching busy videos and chanting stuff and, you know, getting them into a psychological state of protest. I said, what I'm watching, it's like there's something in the air and I can't put my finger on it. Their behavior is too aberrant and too intense. And again, I can't prove it, but I suspect that it's silent.
I think we just lost Paul there, and he's on a landline too. Not sure, you know, it's always interesting how that happens, especially when people are saying important things. Or his phone just died, or he maybe went too far from the receiver if he had a cordless phone. I don't know, but we'll get him back. We're getting into some really interesting areas of conversation here. folks with Paul McGuire. PaulMcGuire.us is his website. And he's got a fantastic website. He's the author of several awesome books. One of my favorite books is The Prophecy of the Future of America. He has a sequel to that, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017. And the book that Eric has up on the screen, Conquering the Matrix. I was going to say, I haven't read that yet, but it says coming this summer, pre-order today. That's probably why I haven't read it, is because it has not been released yet. But Paul, I think if I remember right, has a, is it an eidetic memory? Where he,
right.
Paul, is that, was that right?
Yeah.
Is it eidetic memory? Okay.
Yes. And well, your father pointed that out to me because I didn't know that I had. And then I realized, I had one of those aha moments and I realized I do. The only variable is I have to be interested in the information or the individual. And if I am, like I can remember a face, a conversation from 40 years ago. I can walk through a crowd and in a busy city like Manhattan and recognize somebody that nobody else can recognize from 30 years ago, because that they, somebody like a John C. Lilly, let's say he was walking around the crowd, I would recognize him instantly because of the importance. So that allows me to retrieve and remember information. And the thing is, there's also another element, and that is God's supernatural leading and direction and guidance that is occurring in my lifetime, both going back to third grade as a young boy, and then the chance encounters, the meetings, the interactions, the fields that I would research, who my heroes were as a child. You know, a whole bunch of these guys that I majored in altered states of consciousness because I naively thought that if the human race raised its consciousness, and this consciousness would be a loving consciousness, we could bring in, see, I didn't know anything about Bible prophecy way back when, a new order of love and harmony based on this higher consciousness of love. So people like Dr. John C. Lilly, he represented that to me, his research. Timothy Leary's research represented that to me, and a lot of other scientists. And then I began to personally experiment, like with Aldous Huxley too. I began to personally conduct my own, my nickname as a kid in first grade was the mad scientist in my neighborhood, because I conducted all these pretty level, high level scientific experiments, like freezing plants and sticking them in the refrigerator for cryogenics experiments and all kinds of weird stuff. So I didn't have the big bucks that John C. Lilly had when I was in college to build, let's say, a $400,000 sensory deprivation chamber. But I had read all his books, and I had access to psychedelic drugs like he did. And I created and built my own sensory deprivation chamber with a soundproof room, a bathtub type of submergent device that release body temperature water, and I conducted a lot of these experiments, you know, on a shoestring budget. But as the decades go by, because of my books and the intensive research that I do, I'm stunned that so many of these people who were heroes to me, scientists and others, they were on the payroll of the CIA. They were part of the MK Ultra, Monarch Mind Control, the whole program. They weren't clean. See, I thought they were just visionary scientists. No, they were paid. Their real job was to develop mind control weapons. And LSD was an essential part of MK Ultra and all the other things. So these people that I naively thought were heroes were in reality kind of building Frankensteins.
You know, there was a, and I don't know if we talked about this last time you were on, I'm not sure if it even aired, there was a series on the History Channel, America's War on Drugs, and one of the mm-hmm. episodes was specifically about the 60s, Timothy Leary, the LSD, and the CIA mind control. And
right.
It talked about, you know, these projects and how these projects, and we've gone over it before, but for listeners who might not be aware, the government was testing LSD on a number of people, including soldiers. They were actually paying right. soldiers to take part in these experiments where they were trying to play with the boundaries of consciousness and
right.
to see how to weaponize this. And they had people like Timothy Leary go on college campuses and promote, you know, this, I forget what the name of it was or what their slogan was. They had this party
Turn
slogan.
On, tune in, and drop out.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out. That's exactly
that
right.
Was Leary.
Yeah, and this was, and so, this played a big role in the counterculture.
Yes. So a guy like me, okay, and I'm representative of millions of Americans, okay, so I'm like 14 years old or something, okay, and I'm watching the big TV shows of that time, like the Merv Griffin show. At that time, it was huge. And Timothy Leary is the guest, okay, and I don't know Timothy Leary from a hole in the ground, except that he's a Harvard professor, and he has his doctorate, and he's on the show to promote the usage of LSD, because what he does, he's selling LSD to the American public on the program, and he's saying LSD will make you more intelligent, it will expand your consciousness and your mind, and it will give you the answers that you're looking for. Now, I'm raised in an atheist household. I hate Christianity with a passion. But I'm looking for those answers that he's talking about. I can't relate to Christians because I think they're psychopaths. I can't relate to, you know, a lot of things. So I had already read a book called The Doors of Perception by Aldous Huxley. And so I began to experiment with LSD, and Huxley was promoting the use of mescaline, which is a slightly lower level psychedelic. But I did so as personal amateur scientific experiments. I didn't do it to be like a stoner and get high. I was trying to go through the doors of consciousness. And the guy that got me the mescaline, his father was a doctor. And I did it as part of a scientific experiment. And I did a lot of these things. But what I didn't know until many years later, and I write extensively about this, like in the first book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Mass Awakening, which your father wrote the foreword to, the new book, Conquering the Matrix, and a number of my other books. I write intensively about this because you can't understand. See, what people don't understand, I know we've talked about it on your program before, but it's what we're talking about applies to up to the nanosecond current events, okay? It applies to that demonstration where the psychotic guy supposedly drove in and killed that poor girl, and, you know, the neo-Nazis and white supremacists were there. What we're talking about applies directly to what happened and why it happened in that demonstration. What we're talking about applies directly to why people's emotions are being hysterically generated, like with Black Lives Matter and things like that. These scientists, when we brought in, and I know you know all about this, but after World War II, when we brought in 10,000 Nazi rocket scientists and mind control scientists from Germany, they headed up our most prestigious laboratories, think tanks, institutes, and universities, and they were given prominent positions to continue experimentation and develop highly advanced scientific mind control. So, you know, Ken Kesey, he was a best-selling author, but he was like the LSD guru for the Grateful Dead. People need to understand that the rock and roll band, the Grateful Dead, was being used as a vehicle to promote LSD usage by intelligence agencies. And their guru, Ken Kesey, he was the leader of it. And he would, they would hold these giant Grateful Dead concerts and give out free LSD all across the country. And then also, Kesey would drive around in this giant old school bus where on the front it said the words further, and it was a psychedelic painted school bus. And he would hit the beaches in Alabama and all across the country, and he would conduct what was called the electric Kool-Aid acid test, where there'd be these big buckets of ice water that was Kool-Aid spiked with LSD. And it was part of a government project because Kesey was turned on to LSD by neuropsychiatrists at Stanford Research Institute, where the government and the intelligence agencies gave him LSD to experiment with. And then he promoted promoted it around the country, as did many other authors and speakers. Now, what people don't understand is, like the movie The Manchurian Candidate, the better version is the one with Frank Sinatra in black and white. But the newer version with, what's his name? One of my favorite actors.
Denzel
Washington? Yeah. That's good. That shows you a pretty realistic glimpse of how they can program somebody to be an assassin with LSD. And they continued those experiments. Monarch Mind Control, which is where they use intense shock and awe, LSD, trauma-based programming, and they subject a young child or a young adult to the most overwhelming psychological and physical brutality and horror.
Paul, we're up against the break. I don't mean to cut you off. I know you're right in the middle of something important, but we are up against the break. Folks, we're talking with Paul McGuire. PaulMcGuire.us is the website, and make sure you go there. Bookmark the site. He's got a lot of stuff that he's got going on there. He's the author of several books. He's got a radio show. He does prayer meetings. So make sure you follow his site. Sign up to be on his mailing list, even. We will be right back with Paul after this short break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to this Friday edition of the Hagman Report, and we still have 2 hours left. We'll be right back.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the GMAG Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super GMAG Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available, anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. A Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. timberprofits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.